You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
The expectations from the prospects and customers are huge, right? Because they expect everything to be done yesterday. It's very hard, and even though you want to do it, but sometimes you need to understand balance between what is possible versus what is not possible, and sometimes you have to say no.
Welcome to our Humans of DevOps podcast titled With No Code Into the Future. Today, we have with us a very esteemed thought leader in the topic continuous orchestration. Our special guest is Kumar Chivukula. I hope I said your name correctly, Kumar. Hello there.
Yes. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate your time and opportunity to talk to you.
Yes, excited for you to be with us today. Let me give our listeners a little bit of a background, and then, of course, I'll open it up to you because you might want to add something. So Kumar is an experienced IT and operations leader with experience accelerating digital transformation and business growth with a customer-first mindset at companies like Adobe and Symantec. I think that's where you were before. Today, he or you is the co-founder and CTO of Opsera, driving the mission to help companies deliver software fast, safe, and secure via disruptive DevOps solutions. All of that sounds fantastic. So thank you again, Kumar. Welcome and glad that you are here. Thanks for taking time out of your, I'm sure, busy day. The first question, of course, before we get started, give our listeners who are, of course, roles like DevOps engineers, app dev folks, security people, individuals, contributors, leaders, give them about the 10,000 foot level of what does Opsera really do?
Absolutely. Thank you. So if you look at the current market, right, DevOps is nothing new. It's been there for quite some time. The recent explosion of the digital transformation of all the enterprise companies and multi-cloud adoption and the technological changes that is happening in the cloud, the way the rapid pace is, and the rapid pace, like where the cloud evolved from EC2 instances to the containers, to the microservices, to the serverless, plus all the languages. It's very hard for enterprises to keep up with the existing the software delivery management. It's very complex. It's a resource intensive, and it's challenging for them to keep up with the agility, velocity, and then also visibility. But if you talk about like CTOs and CAOs, and CTOs like care for the agility velocity based on our survey, and then CISOs and CAOs care for the visibility governance. Doesn't mean that they don't care about other things. They do, but at the highest level, that's what it is. To solve the problem of how can we continue to help agility velocity for the CTOs and CAOs visibility and governance, and based on the practical challenges that we've seen and the challenges that we see in the current market and the gaps, we started Opsera as a continuous orchestration platform. What we do is, we, like as you rightfully said in the early part of the introduction, our mission and goal is to enable and empower enterprise companies to make their software delivery faster, better, and secure. It's a very bold statement, loaded statement. I'll just quickly unpack that. Our goal is to continue to protect the existing investment of the current enterprise companies. And when we mean by the current investment, because people already invested in the DevOps in the last 3-4 years, we want to make sure that we invest, we continue to protect the investment, and using our platform, accelerate the DevOps and DevSecOps journey, in whether it be any cloud, or whether it be AWS, Azure, GCP, or running in on-prem, or working across any technology stack or tool. So summarize it together, our goal is to, we continue to work with their existing customers and have them keep the existing tool stack and build the no-code pipelines, which is one of the value proposition where they don't have to worry about building the pipelines manually and curate them, and manage them at scale as well, and providing their end-to-end visibility with respect to governance and visibility with respect to doing more with less. And that's what we do. And think about, for the lack of better way to say that, the way the Salesforce solved the problem for the salespeople, we want our Opsera platform, the goal and vision is to make it easy for the developers using Opsera platform as well.
So what I heard you say is that you are protecting existing investments, which is great, because we do know we are in a challenging situation, right, across the world. Budgets aren't growing as much. I think between all the different analysts, it's about maybe 5% or so in software and in services. So that's great. Orchestration means, to some extent, you are making and bringing things together, which allows folks to actually improve their speed, reduce toil, and improve the reliability and security of the services. So I think that's probably an excellent high-level summary. Now, you are yourself a CTO, in a software company. Many of our listeners probably have their own CTOs within their companies, but they're not in software. But as a CTO in a software company, what does that mean? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's a, the title-wise, is the we are in a startup company. We wear multiple hats, and from the taking a step back and talk about it, what we do. Probably I'll give my two cents, and I may not be that true for everybody. But in a startup and working on a day-to-day basis, building the product and setting the guidance and vision, and those are the high-level responsibilities of CTO, making sure that. But I'll explain that in general what I see. So as a CTO, your job is to look at the future, look at the current pain points of the customers, and make sure that the current technology stack, also like the platform, is aligning to that and making sure that it is solving the problem. The biggest thing is, on top of the product, managing the product and technology roadmap, the CTO job is to make sure that alignment between sales, marketing, and product and engineering is very important, because it's very, otherwise the CTO cannot just go and build the team, build the product and technology, and the next thing you know is, after building the product and the platform, there's no one to sell it and no one to understand what it is. And alignment is absolutely critical. And that is the one of the biggest responsibility, besides building and managing the technology stack and looking at the vision, looking at the innovation and whatnot. But that's the second. That's the second thing. Third thing is making sure that right people are in place to manage this thing, because CTO themselves, as a CTO, you can't solve everything. You can only solve so much, but you need to have a right set of people who are managing the product, right set of people who are managing the engineering, and then your the reliability engineering, SaaS platform, and you need to have a proper team that manages architecture and design. So otherwise, it's very difficult to bring it together and scale the platform as well. At the highest level, in a people, in a product, people, process, technology, and CTO plays a role in all of them. In initial stages of the company, it's mostly around product and people. And then when you start to grow into this one, and it becomes a more process, and then the technology comes into the play along the way as well. So
you actually, and your role, are an orchestrator yourself. Not just that your company does work in the orchestration, you actually have the role of an orchestrator as well amongst the different functions within your organization. Now, you mentioned people and processes. Of course, people is the most important one, and where I want to go a little bit further. When you think about your day-to-day job as CTO, I'm curious, what challenges do you face relative to some of the people and the culture, either within your organization, or what do you see within your installed base or the clients? Because you said you do a lot of, I'm assuming you're doing a lot of conversations with prospects and clients. What challenges do you have and see relative to the human side and the culture?
Yeah, the expectations from the prospects and customers are like huge, right? Because they expect everything to be done yesterday. It's very hard, and even though you want to do it, but sometimes you need to understand balance between what is possible versus what is not possible. And sometimes you have to say no, and hard to say no in the many of the conversations, but we need to find a way to establish a relationship and explain to the prospect and customer in terms of like how they can need to align and how they need to think through this one. Not everything needs to be done yesterday. Not everything is important. The prioritization alignment with respect to customer and also employees is one of the biggest challenge that happens for many of the companies. Once you have that alignment initial stages, it becomes easier. But as and when we add more customers, things are going to improve. But once you build MVP, once you have a product market fit, once you establish a go-to market fit, the journey becomes easier, which is we are in an inflection stage of product market fit to go-to market fit. And the initial stages where building the product and heads down building the product and focusing on coding and testing and validating and making sure the product is ready, and then continue to add bells and whistles on top of it and add security and add the reliability and the scalability, a bunch of other features. That's where the journey comes in. But the core product and core philosophy is not going to change. The challenges are associated with it in terms of like aligning the customer vision, Apsara vision aligning with customers, and also making sure that our team is aligned to that is the one of the critical component of the CTO job. Because without that, it will be very hard for either of the people to understand why we're saying no or why we're saying yes. Mm-hmm. People are not going to be happy when you say yes to the customer, come back with an update, hey, we have to develop this new feature, new capability, new offering. And they want to understand why and why not, and what's the ROI, what's the return on investment. These are the things that we have to invest and we have to manage them, because you don't want to build it for one customer, right? And you don't want to accumulate technical debt. You want to be very careful. Managing the technical debt in the company, and especially SaaS company, is very, very challenging and very difficult as well. But if you have to build the culture in a way, you continue to draw the line, what is the part of the product, what is not, what is the core versus context. Once you do that, it becomes easier conversation for having the challenging conversation with customer, also with the employees as well.
Great. I love what you said, core versus context. Sometimes in my role as an industry analyst, which is my second job, when I go into briefings with some of my vendor clients, they forget to share core. They only share context, and that makes it sometimes very difficult. And then one other thing you said, MVP or minimal viable product. I heard something just recently, which I really have adopted. I'm going to call it a minimal lovable product instead of a minimal viable product. Some of the enterprise clients loved when I suggested that. Excellent. Great. Now,
yeah, I like that minimal lovable product.
Yeah, that's a new vocab. I mean, I'm sure.
I've never heard about it before.
Yeah, I think I leveraged, AKA stole it from somebody else, but I don't and cannot remember, so I cannot give that person credit. All right. So Apsara was founded, I believe, in 2020, and with a vision, as you mentioned, software developers and DevOps teams to achieve faster software delivery through an orchestration platform. And did some research, of course, on Apsara, and I'm not a stranger to you because I covered or looked at your solution when I was doing research as an industry analyst. Looking at it, you're the first no-code DevOps orchestration platform. So give us a little bit more context in terms of, again, that orchestration platform, and particularly in terms of no code, right? Because I think that's really what's intriguing with regards to our listeners, because sometimes folks are a little bit afraid. They're saying, no code, what do you mean you're replacing me? And others are saying, yes, that's great because I can actually do additional work, which I can't get to when I have an orchestration platform. So that's kind of the backdrop of my question.
Yeah, thank you for the question. It's a really good question, actually. So there's always misconception about the no code and low code and this whole concept, right? So when we talk about no code, it's more not about replacing people. It's about enhancing the ability of the existing DevOps team and making sure that they accelerate their journey. Because otherwise, they end up doing that in our survey. About 30-40% of the time, they're managing the tools and managing the pipelines. It's nothing wrong with it, but is it really impeding them for them to help the developers innovate and shipping things faster, which is not a good thing as well, right? While another data point is, based on the IBM and Gartner survey that was done in 2019-2020, this was again 2-3 years back, 15-18% of the code that was written by most of the companies doesn't see light at the end of the tunnel, because it is all done for internal development, nothing that has been for customer. Imagine that 15-20% of the time that has been gone, invested by the people, and the company is not generating the value. That is a productivity loss for the company, and revenue loss and opportunity loss. How can we have them focus on things that they can help the company bottom line and also help accelerate the journey and make sure that they continue to stay current with the technology, right? So if you look at those things, then Apsara will come as a smart chatbot or smart minion for them, where they can continue to accelerate the journey by leveraging Apsara orchestration platform. How we do that? We, as a core principle of Apsara, we want to build the reusable microservices in the platform. But what we mean by reusable microservices, so that when we build the microservice for a certain function, we want to make sure that it scales across many enterprise customers. So in our orchestration platform, we have three modules. One is toolchain automation, second one is no code pipelines, third one is unified insights. the way we explained previously, toolchain automation will help the enterprise customer to protect their existing investment by bringing the tools together. Once they bring the tools together, using the no-code pipelines, within the no-code pipelines, what we have is we built a bunch of integrations in a microservices format. All the enterprise customers have to do it instead of them worrying about the writing the Glue code integration code or like Jenkins file or maybe writing the Groovy scripts or maybe custom scripts what they have. They can leverage the existing microservices that we have and be able to build them as a part of the Lego set. We are given the Lego set. The DevOps team still have to construct their own car and to drive it, the release car, right? We're not stopping them. We're not going to drive the car for them. They have to drive it. That's still the responsibility of DevOps. What we're doing is instead of them building the car, then all by themselves, we're enabling them to build the car through the reusable microservices so that they can make the journey faster, better, and secure. And then last but not least, in doing so, they get to see the visibility aspect of it. So for them to achieve all of them at a scale, it's very cumbersome and difficult. You need to have a ton of people to managing it. Like in my previous life, and both Symantec and Adobe, and we used to spend about, both the largest software publishers, as you guys know, and we used to spend about 60% of the money that we used to spend on people and 40% on tools. It's not easy for every company to scale, invest that much money and that many resources. We're talking about scale in the lines of $20 to $25 million per year just on software delivery management. I'm not talking about software development, software delivery management. So to bring it together, the no-code pipelines, what we talk about is like we give you the templates. Within the templates, you have a reusable microservices. We enable the enterprise customers to take the templates, build the templates for their own use cases, whether it be SDLC, which is a software development lifecycle that includes across multiple languages, multiple technology stack, mean stack, Java stack, .NET stack, and so on and so forth, or SaaS DevOps, which is Salesforce, Snowflake, Informatica, Adobe Experience Manager, APG, and so on and so forth, which is the IT DevOps. And then third one is about infra as a code. All three things can be possible by layering the quality security gates. We have a deeper integration to security stack and quality stack as well, which is includes from the code time the code commit is done. We want to make sure that we scan for secrets, keys, passwords, and ensure that no known vulnerabilities are there in the builds and deployments, and the dynamic code analysis, and making sure the containers that are running are fully secure, known vulnerabilities are not there, and any VMs that have been deployed, threat vulnerability management, we can also scan them. So having these things as a security hygiene, as part of the CI/CD pipelines, along with quality hygiene, will help them make the software delivery faster, but also make it secure, and also improve the quality security posture significantly for them. So imagine that we don't have any of these things. They have to do it with tens of people plus, and the person leaves, and the second person wants to come in and redo it all over again because they don't want to troubleshoot the code. Again, I've just said a lot, but just bring it back. We have the no-code pipelines. What we mean by that is not to replace people. It's about enhancing the existing journey that they have by taking the templates and the reusable microservices, help them build the pipelines at scale across SDLC, SaaS, DevOps, infra as a code.
SkillUp Days and SkillUp Hours are the perfect way to stay on top of the latest DevOps trends and improve your skills from the comfort of your own home or office. Our virtual micro-conferences and webinars focus on DevOps and the tech industry and feature expert speakers from both the DevOps world and top IT companies. At our SkillUp Days, you will get everything you'd expect at a traditional conference, including virtual sponsored booths, competitions, and networking opportunities with other attendees and speakers. Don't miss out. Check out our lineup of upcoming events on devopsinstitute.com and register now.
Sounds like this actually will make, if I am in the software delivery role, my job a lot more fun, because I do remember conversations with software developers who say, I really like my job most of the time, but there are a few aspects of it which are really not fun, and I don't look forward to those. And I think you, as you just described, some of those tasks, if they are like a cookbook or a playbook or a template, allow me to actually step out of the mundane tasks and allow myself to actually bring things together. That's one of the biggest challenge we see, and we found when we did our upskilling, that folks are really starting to disengage with and connecting, not connecting with what they're doing, because some of the work they're doing is just not as challenging and creative. So I see lots of opportunities there. Now, low code and or no code, right? What's the difference?
I think there is a slight difference, and basically how you want to use it. It's sometimes it's marketing term and buzzwords in the industry. But low code and no code development is like, for example, low code is, like, I'll give an example of low code. Like in the case of where some task that needs to be done in a repetitive way, and for example, you want to connect an application particular, I'll just give an example on the DevOps. You want to be in a position to repeatedly use your static code analysis step across all CI/CD pipelines. You can do the low code way or no code way. Low code way is nothing but you just write a minimal code that can work across various stacks and leave it as part of your step or microservice and create a template and use it across multiple pipelines. And that way you know what to expect, what are the conditions, what are the thresholds, what are the gates, and so on and so forth. It's a little bit more customization or making it more meaningful to the existing your own environment as well, existing environment. Whereas a no code, that means that you just really like doing the plug and play. Basically, it's a plug and play. And think about it like your Lego example, right? You are given a set of Legos and the blueprint and the template, and for you to construct a thing without you making the Legos. Mm-hmm. And we're not elevated with that model where people like in the different personas, like when you talk to IT DevOps and especially with SaaS DevOps, it's basically their focus is more on the configuration and making changes at the application level. They don't want to be the coders, traditional coders like Java developers or the Golang developers and so on and so forth. They care about having something in a plug and play in a wizard based approach, which is what low code development is. Like basically they want to just take something that is over there, create by clicking a couple of wizards and be able to create the pipeline for them. Whereas no code, the low code is like where we want to give them a little bit of opportunity for them to tweak it with existing investment and also be able to help them bring the existing tools. As a result, you have to give them a little bit of opportunity for them to tweak the Legos that they have. So that I'm trying to give you the like example of the DevOps context. So they're in the industry standard, they've kind of interchanged in some areas and people conveniently use it. But low code to me is there isn't 100% low code is very hard to do it at this point. Industry is not there, but there are for a particular use case, you can achieve the low code. For a particular use case, you can achieve no code as well. Depends on the use case, depends on the persona.
Mm-hmm. Great. Excellent. Okay, I want to shift a little bit to your installed base because I know you know them well because you do have conversations and you are the owner to take those conversations and turn them into products, which is a great noble cause. What challenges do you think? Let's maybe take the number one challenge. If you kind of go back and think about your last week's conversations or last quarter, well, the quarter is, I don't know what yours, it's just beginning.
Quarter
right?
Is the end of this month for us.
Yeah. Okay. So if you go back to the last quarter, what would you say is the number one challenge your installed base or prospects today have, and how are they solving them? Besides, of course, you offering your orchestration platform, that's of course one, right? But what are some other challenges? I'm curious.
Yeah, there are a few, but I think I'll highlight a couple of them, especially like in the enterprise sector. Digital transformation is really key, and people been expected to transform because customer and their end user expectations are different. Like nowadays, if you ask me 6 years back, you can go to the website and just or maybe mobile app, just book a car and the car will show up to the door, which is Tesla in this case. It's very hard. I would have said no, and there's no way. And it's happening, and especially with the pandemic, it's even changed. You don't have to go to the car dealership and get the car, and then the car can show up to your door, right? And it's very hard to even imagine that. And this type of innovation is happening, and customer expectations have changed. And they like Amazon, prime example, right? You just ship something, it shows up the doorstep without you going and worrying about all of them. So the behavior and the customer expectations have changed. As a result, enterprises are dealing with digital transformation. They have to, otherwise they will be taken out of the business. For them, and how do they do it without having the people and then without having the platform, without having the way to manage the overall software delivery management? Because they have to transform themselves from a retail company to more of a software company, or maybe manufacturing company to a software company. As Microsoft CEO said it famously in 2008 or 2010, every company has to become a software company. Mm-hmm. And as a result, the people are struggling with it in terms of like trying to keep up with the pace of the digital transformation and innovation that is happening in the market. The second biggest challenge is how do we do it in a more in a secure manner? Because that's another thing that is coming into the play. It's not just the shipping the code, especially with the cloud. We would develop something and just put it out there in the cloud, expect the cloud is secure. That's a wrong assumption. You have to make sure that your data, your bills, your deployments, you have to protect it. There's no other way around. AWS and Azure and GCP, they will only give the offer the utility computing and they will give you the compute for a cost. And they have to run, the enterprises have to run their application. They have to manage their deployments. As a result, coupled with software delivery management in the digital transformation, along with, because it's continuous innovation, right? It's not like you just do the release once in a year or once in 6 months. It's a continuous innovation. Every week, every day, and sometimes every 2 weeks, sometimes once a month. Depends on the company trajectory and this, their adoption and their agile transformation roadmap. So it varies from there. It's hard to keep up with the pace of innovation, also managing with people with that. So it's, we continue to see that. That is a digital transformation coupled with the software delivery management along with DevOps, DevSecOps is one of the, it you no longer the nice to have anymore. 4 or 5 years back, it's nice to have. Now it's a line item. Everybody's talking about it. Executives are talking about it.
Which brings me to my almost last question. It's around skills. We at the DevOps Institute are very passionate about upskilling and helping the different roles, right? And in the last 5 years, I've been conducting the research around skills, and we're just at the point where we are releasing our upskilling 2023 report in April. So I'm doing a lot of research there. So if you have to give advice to our listeners, and remember, those are, there's software developers, there's software engineers, there's DevOps engineers, there's SREs. But if there are a few things you would say, hey, really focus on this, what would that be?
It's the continue to, when you're in the technology field, it's not the environment is changing around us, right? So, and continue to keep up with the basic core elements of that, right? One is the cloud stack, because cloud is going to be there for the next 10 years, right? Like it continue to be there. It's going to evolve. It's going to change. But keep up with the certifications and keep up with the cloud like level certification. There are a lot of free courses that offer both AWS and Azure GCP. And also you can sign up for the Coursera, Udemy, and then a lot of videos are available in the internet where you can just take advantage of them and then be able to upskill and continue to upskill. And attending some of the trade shows and wherever possible, most of them are virtual now, like with thanks to pandemic, and most of the sessions used to be in person, now they're virtual. So they have a lot more opportunity for people to learn from the community and effectively. And then you have to transform into more of SRE DevOps team, no longer just doing the configuration management. They have to have a language. They have to at least understand the data structures and languages, and then be able to understand the algorithms is very, very important. They don't have to develop all of them, but they will be dealing with the developers who speak the language. Having an idea about all of them and be able to understand proficient in one language will be always helpful, because once you understand one language, it's easy to replicate the knowledge across the rest of the languages that are going to be there in the market. And we continue to keep up with the cloud vendors, what they're doing, and then take one or two, if at all possible, at least one minimum, to have a certification in that, so that way you will know, and then people recognize and people understand that and value that. And then keeping up with the trade shows and also continue to leverage advantage of the communities. Communities are the things that we have. Plus, obviously, we have we talked about Coursera, Udemy, and a bunch of other things, LinkedIn Learning. They're all the things that resources are available at a much cheaper rate than what we used to be before. And it's accessible to individuals. So you can sign up for a monthly plan, you can sign up for a yearly plan, and put a plan together, work through instructor-led, or you can do the self-paced learning as well. So
fabulous. Fabulous, Kumar. Thank you so much. I have one more question, but this is more of a fun question.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite weekend activity? I'm assuming you have sometimes a weekend.
Yeah, I do. Like, obviously, if a weekend comes in, I want to spend time with the the family as much as possible. And also, like, to me, my fun time is mostly around catching up on reading. And especially, I'm not reading books and books, but I think I listen to a lot of podcasts and listen to some videos and follow some of the blog posts and so on and so forth, and try to keep up myself. And I try to take myself out and then go for do some exercise and walk and long walks and when I have a free time. And the last button is about catching up on sports, and that's just I like sports and try to catch up on some of the sports.
Great. Super. We have been with Kumar Chivukula, CTO for Opsera, a DevOps orchestration platform. Kumar, thank you so much for joining me today on Humans of DevOps podcast. Humans of DevOps podcast is produced by DevOps Institute. Our audio production team includes Julia Papp and Brendan Lay. I'm Humans of DevOps podcast executive producer Evelyn Ehrlich. If you would like to join us on a podcast, please contact us at podcasts@devopsinstitute.com. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich. Stay safe and hope that you tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.